All right, our scripture text this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, in verse 27. John 14, 27. We read the words of our Lord God and Savior, Jesus Christ. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Oh, great promise of our Lord. Spoken in the context of the upper room discourse on the night of the Last Supper, the night of Jesus' betrayal. A very dark night for him. And what was he occupying his mind with on that evening? With prayer and with you and I. He was concerned that you and I might have peace. These words were spoken to the 11 remaining disciples. Of course, Judas had gone off to do his thing. And also to Christians of all ages. It is for us that these truths have been recorded in Scripture. When we come to our text, we always look at who the words are addressed to. But we also understand that if the discourse is recorded and God has seen fit that He would inspire one of His holy apostles to have it written down in this book, then these words and these promises are surely for you and I as well. Now, our text addresses the peace of Christ, which is our topic for the fourth Sunday of Advent. We looked at hope and love and joy, and now we look at peace. And next week, of course, we will celebrate God's gift into the world, Christ Jesus. Now, as is so often our custom, we're going to take the text in the order that it comes to us. Every word in this book is divinely inspired by God, but also divinely ordered. There's no accident that even one sentence would be put in the way it is. And so we'll approach it that way this morning in our particular text. First, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Jesus left the peace that he came into the world with for his people. Secondly, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. That the peace of Jesus Christ is of a different kind than the peace that the world offers. And finally, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God's peace displaces trouble or anxiety. That's the application we're going to make here this morning. It also displaces fear. So first, Jesus left the peace that he came into the world with for his people. He says, "Peace I leave with you." On the first Christmas day, Jesus came with peace. First being announced by the heavenly host, and then the shepherds took up the mantra. And they preached the same sermon immediately afterwards. Peace, goodwill towards men. Behold the babe lying in the manger. Our King, the child, has come. Peace was brought into the world when the Son of God came, and he left his peace here. Notice that it says in our text, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." So if then he left his peace here, he didn't take it back with him. He dropped it off, and he left it here. And if he's left it here, that means his peace is still here now, because he hasn't come back to get it. He'll be coming back someday. We can count on that. Just as it was prophesied that he would come the first time and he came, it's prophesied that he'll come the second time and he'll come. Not one of these prophecies in this book will fail. The scripture attests to it, and the witness of the Holy Spirit attests to the same. So what we cannot say today in this Christmas season is that peace, having peace in our hearts, is impossible. We can't say that peace is impossible, for in doing so, be that our intent or not, we'll be calling God a liar. He says, "My peace I give to you." Now, his peace is only one of his many gifts. I can think of a few others. He says, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." Rest. He gives us rest. Of course, that concept very much intertwined with the concept of the peace that he gives to us. Remember when Jesus went to the woman at the well? And he says, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, "You're drinking this water here, madam, but I'm going to give you living water. Water that's never going to dry up." Jesus gives us living water. Jesus gives us the bread from heaven. He says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever eats of this bread will hunger no more." He gives his sheep eternal life. "They are my sheep, and I give them eternal life." So the gift is just that. It's free. When Jesus Christ, our Lord, gives us a gift, he gives it to us freely and out of a willing and pure heart. He doesn't ask anything in return. And the only thing he expects of us is the thank you card of praise, the praise of our lips in service to him, which is all we can do. Not to earn our salvation, but to thank him for it. These gifts, these Christmas presents, as it were, of peace, of rest, of living water, of bread from heaven, of eternal life, have been offered to you. Behold, they sit at the foot of your tree, right next to that manger scene. Will you unwrap them this Christmas? Would you unwrap his gift of peace today? The gift of peace, one of reconciliation. His. Jesus Christ came down to reconcile sinners to himself, because there was a wall of separation there. And so he came, and he offers us reconciliation. He offers us terms of peace. He says, "Embrace the Son, kiss the Son, and lay hold of eternal life." War is over. There once was enmity. The Bible says we were enmity towards God, at enmity towards God. In other words, we were his enemies. Romans chapter 8, verse 7. But now there are terms of peace. God raises up his Son on the cross and holds him up high for all of us enemies in the other camp to see him. Will we raise up our white flag and come to Him and accept His gracious offer of peace. The peace of Christ is of a different kind than that which the world offers. Jesus says in our text, "Not as the world gives, do I give to you." Now, God's peace is contrasted with what? The world's peace. Peace the world gives is not lasting like everything else. The world offers many things, but they only last for a season, and a very short season at that. Other examples of Jesus' gift that we have looked at earlier, put in this context, rest. Jesus will give us rest forever. Rest for our weary souls. Now on earth, we may feel rested right now. Maybe we do, maybe we don't. Some of us are resting right now. But on earth, we'll be tired again. We'll be tired again this evening. Jesus offers us water, living water, that if we drink it, we can continually be restored and renewed by the grace of God. But on earth, we'll be thirsty again. I suppose by the time I finish speaking here, I'll have to get another sip of water because I'll need to be restored so I can speak another sentence. Jesus offers the bread of life, bread that will never fail, so that we'll never spiritually hunger anymore. But even if we've been blessed with a breakfast this morning, we'll be hungry by lunchtime or by evening time. Jesus offers us life and life eternal for trillions upon trillions of years. You know, we can't even get our arms around the national debt. It's such a big number. How much more so the number that is eternity? The time that we're dealing with, the time that we have to look towards in eternity with Christ. And on earth, what do we get? 70, 80 years? 90 years if we're really, really lucky. Peace is the same thing. Christ offers a lasting peace. The world's peace will not last. Why? Because there's sin all over the place. We're not going to be peaceful because from time to time, sinful thoughts or emotions will well up within us and rob us of our peace. Other people will come along and aggravate us. The things that are going on in the world around us will come to their necessary end, and bad things will happen, and we won't understand them, and they'll rob us of our peace. But God's peace passes understanding, passes human understanding. When one lives closer to God than to sin, the prevailing feeling, the prevailing attitude will be peace in the heart. When one lives closer to sin than to God, then the world's peace will prevail. And it will come and go. Will be all over the place. And so this is my word to you, my advice to you and to myself this morning. Live close to God. And then and only then will you experience His peace. We can fake it, maybe with other people. We can fake ourselves out, maybe. But when the peace of God does not dwell in us, usually, it's because we're not close enough to Him and we're a little bit too close to sin. Many times that sin being pride of rebellion. Now, God's peace passes understanding. Why? Because it is divinely authored. And if God's peace is divinely authored, it can be only understood by understanding the divine, by having a relationship with Christ, by connecting with Him day to day, minute to minute. It requires a childlike faith and a childlike trust before it can be found. Now, when He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you," do you believe that? But do you really believe that? Do you believe that when the storm comes this afternoon? And there's no storm coming. Well, we've got. I was speaking figuratively here, of course. No storm coming. When the storms of life come this afternoon. I'm a preacher, not a meteorologist. Yeah. Although I've got just as good of a shot as they do, I would suppose. I'll bet you it's going to be cold today. So when the cold breeze comes this afternoon, will you still have your peace? Or will you lose it just for a moment and have to get it back on track? Yeah. You know, and that happens a lot. That happens a lot. But when we're living close to the Lord, it makes it less likely that we're going to lose it for a moment. Or that when we do, we're going to say, "Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. This is God in heaven who says, 'Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you.' And that peace is here. He left it here. And He left it with me. I'm going to lay hold of that promise today. And I'm going to lay hold of it right now in this situation. And I'm going to deal with it." You know, it's not in the overall scheme of things a big deal, maybe. Or maybe it is. "And therefore, to whom shall I turn for peace and comfort but Jesus Christ alone?" Have you ever met the Christian who, though the storms of life buffet them, they never seem to fall apart? Maybe you've envied that. Maybe you want that. Maybe you've had that and lost it. How does that come about? How do they do it? It's the peace of God, the blessed assurance of eternal salvation, and the knowledge of God's presence every step of the way that can cause us to hold up in the worst of times. God's peace displaces anxiety and fear. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And so the peace of God replaces despair. We don't have to despair anymore. We don't have to give up. Even if everybody else in your life has given up on you, there's a God in heaven who has not given up on you and I. God's peace displaces anxiety and fear. We know that God in heaven is with us. And if He is with us, who then can be against us? And further, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Now the Lord here speaks of the peace of God which replaces despair on two levels. First, salvation. Before we were reconciled with God, before God sent His Son into the world that Christmas day, and before God sent His Son to that tree to die for you, there was no peace of God yet, because there was no reconciliation accomplished. I speak as of in time. Now how then can you have the peace of God if you haven't accepted the fact that He came into this world for you and died, lived a sinless life, was buried and rose again for you? If you haven't accepted His terms of reconciliation, it will be impossible for you to have the peace of God. It's impossible by definition for anybody to have a supernatural peace of God if they haven't yet experienced the reconciliation of God. Therefore, encourage others that you know who have never experienced the reconciliation of God with these words. Encourage them, number one, but be patient with them, number two. For God has been so patient with you and I when we decided to reject His reconciliation, or we said, you know what, God, we're not going to live in your peace today. There are many out there who are not experiencing the same peace that you are. Therefore, be patient and share the hope that is in you with all grace. The Lord here speaks of sinful anxiety and sinful fear. Sinful anxiety. Let not your heart be troubled. For if God so clothes even the plant life and animals and everything else in His creation, if God so arrays flowers and feeds the birds, how much more so will He clothe you and feed you? Fear not those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear. And when we speak of fear of God, we're talking about having a sense of reverence and respect. Fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, if we obey earthly authorities because we're afraid we might get caught, right? We all obey the law, like we obey the, let's say, the seatbelt law, for instance. Let's take kind of like a controversial one. And I'm not here to make a statement on the seatbelt law, good or bad, whether it's a good law or bad law. But the fact is, it's the law. And I don't know what the fine is for not wearing your seatbelt now. Maybe it's, let's say it's $100.
85.
85, okay. Somebody knows. And I'm going to know if I don't start wearing my seatbelt. $85, right? So I'm going to put my seatbelt on because I don't want to cough up $85 because, you know, I worked hard for that $85 and I don't want to donate it. So, if we obey the earthly authorities by putting our seatbelt on because we're afraid there's going to be a punishment, we're going to get that fine and it's going to go on our driver's record and, you know, our insurance rates are going to go up and all this stuff, right? So if we're obeying the earthly authorities because there's going to be earthly consequences, how much more so should we obey the heavenly authority, where the consequences and the blessings, by the way, are going to last forever. Forever. And this is what Jesus means when He says, fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Yeah, obey the earthly authorities. Wear your seatbelt. But there are things that are of even greater import than that. And your eternal soul hangs in the balance. Christmas is a busy time for most of us. Maybe we've been running around doing some shopping, you know, hanging up the tree and dealing with people in our family that maybe we don't deal with that much, or it's taken an emotional toll on us because there's been some strain there in the family throughout the last year or the last several years, and so we're working hard to try to keep our peace in those situations. And you know, all of these things are good. Jesus Christ came to offer peace, and He left the peace here, and He reconciles with us. He reaches out our hand, and He encourages us to do the same, to reach out our hands to those whom we need to be reconciled with, and also to those who are there, who don't have anybody reaching out their hand to them. we can model Jesus in that way to them. But let's make sure that we gain and lose not our perspective. God sent His Son Jesus into the world 2,000 years ago, and He left His peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I'm bringing my peace, I'm leaving it right here, church. It's yours. Take it. Take it. Don't walk away. He would have us find renewed peace in what He offers this Christmas. Presents and dinner plans and all of these things, they have their place. But let none of them displace Jesus Christ, the Savior, who is the reason for the season, and whose birth we commemorate, and whose incarnation, whose coming into the world, we celebrate this Christmas. May God grant each and every one of us here supernatural peace today, throughout the coming week, and in the weeks to come. We pray in the name of our great and awesome God, Jesus Christ. Amen.